You've heard me tell it time and time again. She came to her new mother and said, "Mommy, may I have a drink of milk, please?" And the mommy gave her a big, tall glass of milk. The little girl reached out and held the milk, glass of milk in her hands, and she looked up at her new mommy and said, "Mommy, before I drink, how deep may I drink, please?" And the mother brushed a tear from her cheek and said, "Sweetheart, drink it all. It's all yours. You don't have to share it anymore with other children. It's all for you. Drink it all. Drink it all." In the story we mentioned a while ago, or read a while ago, the prophet Ezekiel is taken to the house of God. By the way, that's always the place the blessings start, the house of God. You hang around the church house, one like this, and you'll get blessed sooner or later. Now, you may miss a Sunday or two from getting a blessing. I doubt if you will. But you just keep on hanging around, and eventually God is going to bless you and speak to your heart. And so Ezekiel was taken to the house of God. Listen to an interesting story. Ezekiel was given a measuring stick. And so he said, I noticed that from the house of God, I walked eastward. Walked eastward, why? Because east is always the way to walk toward God. The sun rises in the east, and the new birth is represented with the east, and God is represented with the east, and Christ is called the S-U-N, Malachi 4:2, the Son of Righteousness. And so Ezekiel marched toward the east, and he had a measuring stick. He walked for 1,000 cubits. Now that's about a third of a mile, a little less than a third of a mile. A cubit is the distance between the bend of your arm here and the tip of your finger. Now for some of you, that's about 15 inches, you little ladies. For some of you men, it's about 20, 21 inches. But the average length would be about 18 inches. I think mine's about 20. But anyway, about 1,000 cubits would be about 1,500 feet, 5,280 feet in a mile, a little less than a third of a mile. And he said, by the way, he said the water started flowing or running from the house of God. Now, that's down in verse 2 or 3, I think it is. It says the water ran. It means trickle. There was a trickle of water. And Ezekiel walked a third of a mile, a little less than that, and he water was up to his ankles. And so he walked a third of a mile more, and water was up to his knees. And he walked a third of a mile more, and water was up to his loins. And he walked a third of a mile more, and he had to swim. Water was above his head. You see, it started with a trickle. Then the ankles, then the knees, then the loins, and then above the head, and Ezekiel had to swim. Now then, he kept going forward toward the east. Now I think there's a spiritual application here. I'm talking to someone this morning who's saved, but the only water you get is just a trickle. That's all. Just a trickle. I'm talking to others that are in Christianity about up to your ankles, and that's all you amount to. I'm talking to others who are up to your knees. I'm talking to others who are in Christianity up to your loins. But I'm talking to some, thank God, that just it's above your head and you got to swim around all the time. You're just all the way in. Now, I say to those of you that are wading in the water this morning, come on in. The water's fine. Now, I say to those of you that are in the trickle, come on in. The water's fine. Now, I say to those of you that are just in up to your knees, come on in. The water's fine. Now, I say to those of you that are up to your loins, come on in. Keep on going forward. As Ezekiel kept on going forward, he went from the trickle to the ankles to the knees to the loins to the water above his head, till finally he had to swim. Now, there's some spiritual applications here, and that is this. One is, the blessings of God and the growth of God always start at the house of God. It is always the best place to get saved is church. I don't misunderstand me. You can be saved anywhere. The best place to grow in grace is the church. The best place to invest your tithe is the church. The best place to invest your life is the church. Far and away, more people learn more Bible at Bible-preaching churches than all other sources put together. More people get saved at the altar of Bible-preaching churches than all other places put together. More people have their lives changed in Bible-preaching churches than all other sources put together. Now, I've said it, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it, and I'll keep saying it. Every Christian ought to bathe himself and build his life around a New Testament church. When a child is just that high, he ought to be taught that Sunday morning he goes to church, and Sunday night he goes to church, and Wednesday night he goes to church. Young people, you ought to bathe your lives in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mothers and fathers, you ought to see to it your little boys and girls are always in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the church isn't what it ought to be. And the church always doesn't do what it ought to do. And the preacher isn't always right. But, far and away, you'll build a better life and you'll rear better children with them investing their lives in the church. And so, the Lord said, Ezekiel, I want to take you to the house of God. Now, he said, coming from the house of God, there was a trickle of water. Just a trickle. Now, he said, I walked a third of a mile, and water was up to my ankles. And a third of a mile more, up to my knees. And a third of a mile more, up to my loins. And a third of a mile more, it was above my head, and I had to swim. Now, notice, the first step was this. Keep on walking. Are you saved? Okay, get baptized. Are you baptized? Okay, join a church. Have you joined the church? Okay. Start tithing. Are you tithing? Okay. Start working for God. Are you working for God? Okay. Read your Bible every day. Are you reading your Bible every day? Okay. Spend some time alone with God every day. Are you doing that? Okay. But keep on walking eastward. Don't ever stop. Keep on growing. Now, after a while, you get in the church, you start at the house of God, and the trickle comes, and you're saved now, and the blessings of God are upon you. Before you know it, water's up to your ankles. Water's up to your ankles. What does that mean? That means your feet are covered. That means your feet are covered. What does that mean? That means as soon as you get saved, you ought to cover your feet. That means get your feet busy for God. Go back and tell someone else how to be saved. Use your feet. Go out and tell people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ what you found. You recall our Lord in the upper room that day before he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane and faces the cross and all the shame of Calvary. Our Lord girds himself with a towel. He gets a basin of water and he bows and washes the feet of the disciples. Why their feet? Well, because that's the way the army moves. How many of you fellows were in the army in World War II? How many? How many of you ever been in the army? Ever been in the army? I guess all the World War II veterans about died off now. But anyway, I can recall I was a paratrooper. And I'd be sound asleep at night. And somebody'd say, "Attention! Attention!" and the captain'd walk in. Have a flashlight. And he'd say, "Okay, on your footlockers! Put your feet up!" And so we'd get on our footwalkers, you know, and you fellows remember, stick your feet out there, you know, and the guy'd come with a flashlight and look at your feet and check between your toes and everything. And I'd want to say, don't get personal with me, bud. But anyhow, he'd check your toes. And why? Because an army travels on its feet. And we had to take care of our feet. And the Lord says, walk a third of a mile. And Ezekiel said, water was on my feet. Don't you recall when that woman at the well heard the story of Christ and she was saved immediately by foot? She went back and told the men in Sychar, "Hey, come see a man that told me all things I ever did." What's the first thing she did? She went back to the old crowd. She told him what Christ had done for her. And that's the first thing a child of God is supposed to do. Get water up to his feet. Get water over up to his ankles. Water over his feet. Put your feet in. Come on in. Put your feet in. And go tell the people with whom you used to associate that you found the Savior. You recall the story of Matthew, that tax collector. One day was sitting at the seat of custom, and our Lord came. And Matthew was going about his daily activities, and Jesus told him that he was the Messiah. And Matthew left all and followed Jesus, and then he had a big supper. He invited all the publicans and sinners to come to his house. And there Matthew had a big supper and told them all that he'd been saved. Told them all that he'd found the Christ. Back yonder where you came from, there are others that have not been saved yet. There are men in this service this morning that have been saved just a few weeks or a few months. And back yonder in the tavern where you used to hang out, there are men who are still there, as miserable as you were, as lost as you were, as wrecked as your life was. Go back and tell them. Use your feet. Go back and tell them what you found. Go back and say, "Look, come to First Baptist and visit with me. Come and hear my preacher. Come and listen to what I heard and get what I have." Go back and tell them what you found. There are people used to run around with the worldly crowd, the nightclub crowd. And God saved you. And now you don't do that anymore. you're faithful to God's house and you love God and you read the Bible now instead of Playboy magazine, and you watch decent programs on television instead of Peyton Place and the sexy programs and the dirty movies at night and the filthy Carson shows and such things as that. Now you watch decent things and you read the Bible and you go to decent places and use decent language. No more dirty stories, no more cursing, and no more liquor drinking. And now you're decent. But back yonder where you came from in those nightclubs and back in those places, that crowd still meets. The world still seeks its thrill from LSD. The world still seeks its thrill from liquor. The world still is seeking what you saw. Oh, you ought to go back and say, folks, I've found what you're looking for. I've found the Lord Jesus Christ. I've found satisfaction. I've found peace. Won't you come and have what I have and get what I got? Oh, go use your feet. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, Ezekiel, start at the house of God and notice the trickle of water. But he said, keep going toward the east until it covers your ankles. But then he stops and he says this. He said, I measure another third of a mile. And the water was up to my knees. What does that mean? That means you keep on growing in grace till you become a man of prayer or a woman of prayer. Let's suppose tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, it's a nice warm day, we'll say. You drive down Columbia Street. Let's see. And let's make it 170th Street out in South Hammond, passed by Brother Streeter's house, and Brother Cal Streeter is out in a wading pool, just splashing up a storm. I mean, not little Cal, I mean big Cal, and in a wading pool, water about that deep, and you say, hey, is that preacher, First Baptist Church assistant pastor? And, oh, yes, it is, out in a wading pool, just splashing up a storm. Got his little balloon toy, and driving a little boat to go around there, and that's who it is. That's isn't that? Yeah, and that's what many of you folks are doing. You've been saved 40 years and still waiting. Water's never gotten up to your knees yet. Never got above your ankles yet. And a lot of you still living on trickles, that's all. Never win a soul. Never use your feet. Don't know a thing about the power of prayer. What God is saying is this. God is saying a trickle's not enough. Use your feet. And then he's saying there's something else you ought to do. You ought to get on your face and on your knees and know there's a God in heaven who hears and answers prayers, and you ought to spend time on your face before God. I thank God that years ago, as a kid preacher, God taught me that I was to be a soul winner, and the water covered my feet and came to my ankles. I thank God when I went off to college without enough money to pay my tuition, without a dime in my pocket, I went to school the first day. When I enrolled in college, I did not have a dime to pay my tuition. I didn't have a dime to buy a book. I didn't have a job. All I knew is that God had led me off to school. I didn't have one penny, not one penny. And I thank God that God put the water above my knees. And I learned that there's a God in heaven who hears prayer and answers prayer. And yet there are Christians here this morning who are saved. You know you're saved, but you never have learned yet there's a God who loves you, a God who's concerned about you, a God who hears and answers prayer. Come on in. The water's fine. Get the water up to your knees and fall on your face before God and find out there's a God in heaven who loves his children and wants to answer their prayers and supply their needs. And so God said to Ezekiel, keep walking eastward. Ezekiel said, hey, the water's up to my feet now. A third of a mile farther. It's up to my knees now. But now, wait a minute. He walked a third of a mile farther and it was up to his loins. Now, if you'll check the Bible, you'll find just as the feet represent soul winning and as the knees represent prayer, you'll find the loins represent strength. Strength. Gird up your loins, the Bible says. When God would tell someone to get ready for battle, he'd say, gird up your loins. If you ask any athlete where his strength is, and brother, it's in the legs, right? In the legs. First thing that goes, the legs. You wonder where Ernie Banks gets his power? Huh? He gets it right here in his hips, his legs. It's not that wiggling of that bat like that that does it. In fact, I've tried that wriggling. It didn't help me a bit. You see, the power is the loins. Anytime the Lord, that's why sometimes a little fella without the muscles up here can hit the ball farther than somebody else, or can win the battle, or can win the race, or can throw the pass, or kick the ball farther, or has more strength. Why? It's in his loins. And God says to you Christians, waiting around in a spiritual waiting pool, God says, come on in and be strong, Christians. It's not enough to wade in a trickle of water. Strengthen yourself. Be strong in the Lord. Every once in a while, somebody comes to me and says, Brother Hiles,
over the house. My daughter's in kids' school, and she didn't participate in a certain thing, and she's being persecuted, and I feel so sorry for her.
Well, I don't. I think we ought to be strong Christians.
I think we ought to have the strength of God. I think we ought to have the water up through our loins. I think we ought to say to a... Listen! We ought to say to a world that laughs at this Bible, we believe it, laugh at us, persecute us, make fun of us, we believe the Bible, we're glad we do, we praise God we do, we'll be strong Christians and stand for our God in this evil generation. We ought to say to this hippie generation, this socialist generation, this communist generation, this new morality generation, this new orthodoxy generation, this left-wing generation, we ought to say, if you can be strong in your stand for wrong, we'll gird up our loins and fight the battle for God. Get on in the water. We have too many Christians now, never use their feet for God, been saved for years, and never get beyond a trickle of water. Let the water come to your ankles. But then we ought to say, not only that, we ought to say, with the grace of God, the water will come to my knees. I'm not only going to be a soul-winning Christian, but I'm going to know what it is to get a hold of heaven. I'm going to know what it is to get my prayers answered. I'm going to stay on my face. I'm going to stay on my knees. And then we ought to say, but more than that, I want the water past my ankles, past my knees, but I want the water to my loins. I'm going to be a strong Christian for God. I'm going to stand. I'm going to fight. The choir saying, I'm going to be a soldier. Check your Bible. How many times did the Lord come to a man like Joshua and say, Joshua, gird up your loins? How many times did God come to a man like Elijah and say, Elijah, gird up your loins? God came to the armies of Israel and said, it's a battle to fight. Gird up your loins. Be strong in the Lord. All the people this morning in this crowd, God bless you and God love you. And I love you. You love God. You've been saved. You know you're going to heaven. When I ask after a while, if you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven, you'll raise your hand way high. But you've never gotten the water to your ankles yet. You've never gotten the water to your knees yet. You've never gotten the water to your loins yet. Come on in. Be a great Christian. Be a faithful Christian. Be a Sunday night Christian. Be a Wednesday night Christian. Be a tithing Christian. Be a soul winning Christian. Be a praying Christian. Be a Bible studying Christian. Come on in. The water is fine. And God said to Ezekiel, if you keep marching, the water will get deeper until eventually you'll have to swim. But now listen carefully. If I start over here, can I have this mic, please? How about this one here? Good. If I start over here, and I'm growing grace, and I start in, as a Christian, the water gets deeper, my ankles, and then to my knees, and then to my loins, and finally, after a while, I tiptoe. And finally, I have to swim. Now, follow me. The deeper I get in the water, the less of me that shows, and the less of my flesh that is magnified. But if I'm over here and just a trickle of water, you can see all of me. If water comes up to my ankle, you can see from here up. If water comes to my knees, you can see from here up. If water comes to my loins, you can see from here up. Water comes to my neck, you can see from here up. When I come to a place in my life where I bathe myself in Christ, where I spend myself in God's service, where I'm not only a Christian of a trickle, but also my feet are for God, my knees are for God, my loins are for God, my body is for God, less of me shows, more can be done. The reason you don't win souls is because of the flesh. The reason you don't pray is because of the flesh. The reason you don't stand for God with a strong Christian is because of the flesh. Oh, good God, this morning. Here's what would solve the problems in America. You give me 10,000 Christians in America with the same devotion and the same diligence and the same zeal and the same love for truth that the 7 men that were on trial a few days ago have for error. And brother,
America could be turned toward God.
Our problem is we're in the spiritual waiting pool. We're in a spiritual...
Listen, there's nothing that irritates me any more than a trickle.
The other night I was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, staying in the Holiday Inn. And I went off to sleep and I heard drip, 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 drip. And so I got usually now these motels have two beds, two double beds each room. Now, I don't mind it, but I hate to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and change beds. I stuck my head down against the pillow and I got a pillow to put on top of my head. And I thought, now that'll take care of it. And pretty soon, drip, drip, drip. And so I doubled the pillow up underneath me and put my head way down like that and put my hand over here. But I couldn't hear it, but I imagined how it sounded. Drip, drip, drip. Then my curiosity got upset, excited, and I wanted to find out if he's still dripping or not. And so I got out of it and went in the bathroom, and it was coming from the ceiling. After a while, it was just drip, 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 drip. And I looked, and it was just coming and out down the side. It was about 12 o'clock, and I called the operator, and I said, look, I said, I've got a drip up here in my bathroom coming from the top. And I know smart cracks about that. But the operator said, well, it'll stop after a while. I said, it's been going for an hour, and I can't sleep. He said, we'll check it. And so he checked it. And there was a man upstairs taking a shower. And there's a leak in the bathtub or the shower or something is coming down. And so finally I went off to sleep. Would you believe it? Within an hour after I was asleep, the phone rang, and the fellow said, is the drip stopped? I said, I don't know. I've been asleep. And then I drip. There's nothing worse than a trickle. Did you ever want to get a drink of water from a water fountain somewhere, and it came up about that far? And you jack head, and you suck it up? Huh? We have a fountain over here in our education building that I'd like to find the moron that invented that thing. You got to stick your head in and turn your head this way and then push it a little further and turn it down like that and then just a little drip every once in a while. Nothing worse than that. Nothing worse. Nothing. The honest truth is, there's nothing worse to God than a Christian that just operates on the trickle. Oh, I'm going to heaven when I die, but you never stand for God. Never tell anybody about Christ. Never get on your knees and spend 5 minutes in prayer. Water just a drip. Or maybe to your ankle. Spiritual waiting pool. God is saying, Ezekiel, I want you to go a third of a mile farther. The water will be deeper. And when you get there, I want you to measure it. Then I want you to go a third of a mile farther, and the water will be deeper. And then go a third of a mile farther. And finally, Ezekiel, I want you just to be swimming. The water is over your head. And what every Christian, every person who knows God ought to do is say, I'll give my all to God, not just a part, not a trickle, not my ankles, not my knees, not my loins, but all of me. That's what I'll give to God. Where are you on Sunday night? Where are you on Wednesday night? There ought to be, if there are 4,203 people in Sunday school on Sunday morning, there ought to be 4,203 people back on Sunday night. If we love God like we ought to, 4,203 back on Wednesday night, Bible in hand, have your loins girded up for God. That's what we do. Sunday morning, we put the water up to the ankles, get people saved. Sunday night, we put it to the knees and teach you how to get your prayers answered. Wednesday night, teach the Bible and make you strong in the Lord. Come on in. The water's fine. Wait a minute. There are several places in the Christian life where God's people, many of you, only trickle. Now you want to keep going until it's up to your ankles, and then your knees, and then your loins, and then completely covers you. Let's take the matter of giving. Matter of giving. Place your pastor a while ago. What did you give? A trickle? A trickle? How much did you give to God? You sang a while ago, song of praise. We sing, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We sing, there is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
How much did you give God today because of His goodness to you?
God has fed you 21 meals. In the case of many of you, Brother Terry, for example, it's about 28.
I got to tell this. I've been talking to Brother Terry about losing weight.
And I've been telling... Now, it's no joke, it's serious. When a fellow gets his age, or even my age, it's serious when you get big and obese. And fat. I mean, big. And I talked the other day to him about it, and he said, "Preacher, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it." And really, he was gaining 3 pounds a week, and now he's cut it down to 2. But anyway, so I had a serious talk. Remember in the hall, and he said, "Preacher, I'm gonna do it. I'm just gonna do it." The next day, I was walking down the hall, and just as I walked by the workroom, the ladies were eating in there. Somebody had a cake, and. And as I walked by I was walking down the hall towards my office, and the door opened, the workroom, and out came Brother Terry. And when I saw him, he had the cake just like that. I dare say he never had prayed to the rapture any more than he did then. "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And this is the way I saw him, just like that. Now, God's given you 21 meals. God's given you every... We've polluted it, but God is good and God gave it. God's given you water to drink. God's given you strength to do your work and work to do. God's given you strength enough to get out of bed this morning and come to God's house, and tens of thousands of people would like to get out of bed this morning and could not. God's been good to you. What did you give God today? How much of your pocketbook did you lay on the altar and say, "God, it's yours"? Anything less than one dime out of every dollar God's given you is less than gratitude. Trickles. Tips. God, help us to get in over our ankles, over our knees, over our loins. I thank God one day, and I praise God. God taught me how to give. And I quit giving in trickles. And look, by the way, God quit giving to me in trickles too. God takes care of me. Why? Because I do not give in trickles. How about you? Keep going. Give more and more and more and more and more till you're swimming over your head in giving. Why? Because God's been so good to you. Say, you live in America. In spite of the fact that a bunch of nuts are trying to ruin it, it's still the land of the free and the home of the brave and the greatest nation under heaven. In spite of the fact that a bunch of NSDers and SDAers, and they're in the same crowd, are trying to destroy the freedom America fought for, bled for, and died for, I still love the national anthem and I love the flag of our country. It still burns me up when some idiots wash their car with a dirty rag that once was the flag of America. I love America. God's been good to you. You weren't born in Egypt. Your children don't roam the streets of India begging for a crust of bread today, or a piece of for a food, or a bowl of rice. God's been good to you. You live in America. Land of more cars and more television sets and more radios and more bathtubs and more telephones and more nice houses. A land of plenty. We had a good breakfast today. God's been good to us. Why shouldn't we take our pocketbooks and not give by trickles, but give to our ankles, to our knees, to our loins? All of us just give and give and give to God. God's been good to you. How about your attendance? Trickle? Ankle, knees, loins, over your head. You come back on Sunday night? No, you just trickle, don't you? You just trickle in. In fact, you're about to trickle out right now. Sunday night to you is the night to get the children in bed because they have to go to school tomorrow. Sunday night to you is Ed Sullivan. Sunday night to you is the newspaper, the ball game, the television, the radio. You attend church by trickles.
Why don't you decide to get in up to your knees, your ankles, your loins, over your head in service for God?
That was a missionary to the Indians. One day, the missionary was talking to an Indian about giving. Indian got the idea. He went back home. He came with a belt of beads. A belt of beads. And he gave the belt of beads to the missionary to give to God. And the missionary looked and he said, "I'm sorry, Indian, but God will not accept just a belt of beads." The Indian said, "Ugh," and went back home to his place of abode. And he came back and he had his rifle and some skins. He looked up to God and looked at the missionary and put the rifle and skins before the missionary as a gift to God. And the missionary said, "I'm sorry, Indian, but that rifle and those skins will not be acceptable to God as your gift." The Indian went back and he got his wigwam. He came back and he took his wigwam and he laid it before the missionary and looked up to God and gave his wigwam to God. The missionary said, "I'm sorry, Indian. Even your wigwam is not enough to give to God. God will not accept it." Went back home. He got his squaw, little braves. Brought his wife and his children down and laid them at the feet of the missionary and looked up to God and said, "This is my gift to God. I'll give my squaw and my little braves." And the missionary said, "You still have not given the gift that God wants." And the Indian began to cry. And he looked at the missionary and then he finally looked up to God and he said, "Here, God, take poor old Indian too. Take poor old Indian too." And the missionary said, "That's what he wants. That's what he wants." Over in Chicago several years ago, a Salvation Army lassie at Christmas time was ringing her bell. The folks were coming by and dropping in their gifts for Christmas. An old bum off the streets in Chicago came up and he had 37 cents in his pocket from Skid Row. I saw one this morning as I drove to church. God, they'll bless and pity him. His face was all marked with the marks of sin. And he had an old dirty t-shirt on under a coat, and the coat was like this, and the old t-shirt was filthy. He was down here at one of these hell holes on Calumet Street, these taverns, looking in, and he looked in, and he shook the door, and he kept looking in. He shook the door again. He looked in, and finally he turned, and just an old beat up fellow, just wrecked by sin, began to cry. He couldn't get in, and I thought, if somebody had sent a bus by that kid's house when he was a little boy, that man's house when he was a little boy, and brought him to Sunday school, that might have been averted. But anyway, this old bum in Chicago had 37 cents, and the little lady was ringing her bell, the Salvation Army, and the old bum, he looked up and he saw and it said, "Give to God. What will you give to God this Christmas?" He reached in his pocket and he counted his money, and he only had 37 cents. "No, I got two keys. Only had 37 cents. He took two pennies and he dropped that in the Salvation Army kettle. About that time, the little lady went off to eat lunch and left the kettle there. This old man walked away, and he got a ways away, and he turned and he looked back at that kettle, and the sign said, "How much would you give to God this Christmas?" He came back to the kettle. He got in his pocket. He took out a dime. He dropped that in the kettle. Now he'd given 12 cents. He walked away, and he turned as he walked away and looked, and it said, "How much would you give to God this Christmas?" And the old Salvation Army kettle was still there, and the old man turned and walked back, and he took the last quarter he had in the world. He looked at it, looked at the sign, and said, "How much will you give to God this Christmas?" And he dropped the quarter in the pot and began to walk off. He walked a ways and turned and looked back, and it said, "How much will you give to God this Christmas?" The old man turned and came back to the Salvation Army kettle and looked at it. It is said, and this is a true story, over here on the Loop in Chicago, when the Salvation Army lassie came back with her bell to ring that Christmas season, there was an old Skid Row mission bum sitting down in the Salvation Army pot. He had given himself. And that's what God wants from you. How about you tricklers? Don't you think you ought to let the Lord cover your ankles?
How about you waiters? Don't you think you ought to let God come cover your knees? How about you folks that are headed to your knees? Why not get it to your loins? Be a strong Christian.
You folks that are strong and yet you haven't given God everything, why don't you just come on in? The water's fine. Let us bow for prayer, please.